Today is a WRAL weather alert day with a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. I'll show you the latest timeline for when those storms may arrive where you are.
A 4-year-old has died after a drowning at a Raleigh apartment complex. What we are learning about the moments after that child was discovered.
Also, members of the state Senate GOP will attempt to override Governor Cooper's veto of the new abortion ban. We're keeping an eye on developments at the legislature.
Today is a weather alert day with one and two level risk for severe storms across our area. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Our morning showers will transition into storms later this afternoon. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what time the storms will arrive where you are, Elizabeth.
We're still seeing a few of those lingering showers from this morning, especially up in our northeastern counties. We're beginning to see a few breaks in the clouds, and that may help to destabilize the atmosphere a little bit. This is not a thunderstorm. It's just a light shower that's getting ready to move through Roanoke Rapids. We've seen a few of those popping up here and there this morning. But we'll begin to change things up here over the next couple of hours. We take a look at our high-resolution satellite, and you can see the dark shaded areas. That's where the sun has come out, and it's going to start to warm up the surface of the Earth. That's going to cause some destabilization. It'll make for good conditions for some scattered storms to start to develop. It is a bit cloudier off to the north and east, so we're expecting those storms to develop starting in the west and sliding eastward. Our weather alert day, the timeline for that, likely to be starting around the time of the evening commute and lasting until maybe 10 or maybe even midnight in some places. Our threats, 60 mile per hour winds or stronger straight line winds that could cause some trees to fall. And then isolated tornadoes, especially in that level 2 risk area, which is going to be from the triangle area north and west. So let's walk through Futurecast. This is the latest model update. And you can see at 3 o'clock, a little tiny shower, a little thunderstorm could pop up at that point. At 5 o'clock, again, there may be a handful of those during the evening commute, but most of us stay dry. At 7 o'clock, we start to see the line of thunderstorms forming up, and by 9 o'clock, it begins to slide into our viewing area. You can see at 11 o'clock from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro toward Fayetteville and Southern Pines, that's where the line is, and then it continues to slide eastward and out of the viewing area around midnight to 1 o'clock. After that, we're done, and that would be the end of our severe weather threat. Wednesday, you can see skies clearing, and it looks like Wednesday will be a nice day. So let's take another look at the timeline for the thunderstorms. We're in a bit of a lull right now. We could see another isolated shower for a bit, and then we'll start to see a few isolated cells developing between 3 and 5. And then we get into that strong line of thunderstorms that comes through starting around 7 or 8 and ending around midnight or 1 o'clock. We'll continue to take a look at the timeline for these thunderstorms as we go through the newscast. We'll also take a peek at the weekend when we could also see some rain.
With breaking news this noon, just minutes ago, we learned a 4-year-old boy has died after drowning at an apartment complex pool. Keenan Willard is live at Falls Creek Apartments near Thornton Road and Capitol Boulevard where this happened. And Keenan, we understand the radio traffic coming in from first responders tells us a lot more about what happened there. What a tragic scene.
Just an awful update here. Just in the last 10 minutes, police saying that that child who was found here at the pool at the Falls Creek Apartments, originally in serious condition, we now have confirmation that 4-year-old boy has died. Officers came out here around 7:45, finding the child in the pool there. And you can see this is video from Sky 5 over the complex. You can see them trying to provide life-saving measures there by the side of the pool. And this was an all-hands effort. This parking lot area was full of first responders, ambulances, multiple police units. They ended up taking the child to the hospital, but in the following hours, that boy was pronounced dead. Now, he was missing for over an hour, according to Broadcastify radio traffic you can hear here.
Going to be a 4-year-old patient, and they had been missing for about an hour, unknown how long they've been now.
Just a horrific incident here. First, a child going missing, and according to police, making his way inside the pool in some unknown way. We actually went to the office here and spoke with somebody, asking them what security measures are in place here at the complex to stop a child from getting to the pool by themselves. They declined to answer any of our questions. We're now putting those questions to the national company that owns this complex based out of Pennsylvania. We're hoping to bring their answers in the hours ahead. Back to you.
All right, Keenan Willard live in Raleigh with a terrible scene there. Thanks for the update. WRAL has learned a 7-year-old person died in a head-on collision in Wake County that happened on Piney Grove Wilbon Road yesterday afternoon. Highway Patrol says it was a little girl who was in the vehicle that caused the accident. Troopers say the driver ran off the road, overcorrected, and crossed the center line. No charges have been announced.
If your child attends Wake County Public Schools, you may have to send more money for their school lunch next year. The school system is proposing a plan that would raise prices for all students. It would be a 25-cent increase. District leaders will discuss and vote on the move today. If approved, it would be the second time meal prices increased across the district in the past year. Last year, parents had to pay out more money because of the rising cost of food, supplies, and employee wages. WREL has learned that Orange and Chatham County schools are also considering raising meal prices for students. And today, funding for students will likely be the focus as leaders with Durham Public Schools meet with Durham County commissioners. The two groups are holding a joint meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. They have that meeting then, and that's hours before county commissioners will meet to discuss the budget for the upcoming year. WREL has learned resources for mental health will also be one of the topics that are considered at the meeting. It'll be streamed on Facebook. And Wayne County Public Schools now has a new superintendent. The board unanimously approved Dr. Marcus Wichert to serve a four-year term. He was born and raised in Pitt County and attended East Carolina University. He spent most of his career in Edgecombe County, first as a teacher, then in administration. He also served on the Pitt County Board of Education. Dr. Wichert's first day is July 1st.
New abortion restrictions will likely pass into law later today, limiting abortions after 12 weeks in North Carolina and requiring new steps to get an abortion that critics say will make it harder for women with low incomes to get an abortion at any time. WREL state government reporter Travis Fain joins us now to discuss this. Travis, this bill has been moving quickly. Tell us what it does briefly.
It takes the current cutoff on abortions in North Carolina law from 20 weeks pregnancy down to 12 weeks. With exceptions for rape, incest, fetal abnormalities, medical emergencies, you could have an abortion after 12 weeks in those cases. It also requires an in-person doctor's visit at least 72 hours before an abortion. Current law allows a phone consultation there. New law makes that in-person, and then it adds another appointment after the abortion. So that's three doctor's appointments. Given that there are only like 14 clinics that perform abortions in North Carolina, critics point out this will make it difficult for a woman who can't get time off work or who has other children to watch to get an abortion if it requires at least two and potentially three trips.
Governor Roy Cooper vetoed this bill Saturday. You fully expect the legislature's Republican majority to override that veto. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Lawmakers announced yesterday they'd override the governor today, both in the House and the Senate. So it's possible something goes wrong with that plan. But usually when leadership announces something like that, when they move this quickly, means they have the votes. So that process starts sometime in the Senate. After 4 p.m. today, Speaker of the House said, like maybe 20 minutes ago, he said this, the House is going to vote after 8 p.m. and that he has the votes he needs. This will probably be law tonight.
Yeah, head spinning fast. So passed into law tonight. When does it take effect? When would abortion restrictions actually change?
The things most people are going to be interested in, July 1st, the 12-week limit, that 72-hour in-person consultation, that's going into effect July 1st. Some other rules impacting surgical abortion clinics, new rules that may actually shut facilities down, although that's a little bit unclear still at this point. Those rules would have to be adopted by October 1st.
Travis Fain, live at the state legislature. Thank you so much. We will be bringing live team coverage all throughout the day. I know you stay on top of this abortion rights vote.
We're following some breaking news just into the WREL Live Center. Goldsboro police investigating a homicide. Apparently, according to police, it happened in the 3100 block of Cashwell Drive early this morning, around 5 a.m. Investigators say the woman was transported to Lenoir Memorial Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. Police have not released her identity or possible motive for this shooting. Again, this happened in the 3100 block of Cashwell Drive there in Goldsboro. This is a developing story. Look for updates during this newscast online or in our news starting at 4.
Two staffers who were injured in a violent attack in the office of Congressman Jerry Connolly are now out of the hospital. The suspect accused of entering the office and demanding to know the location of the congressman in Virginia. And when the attacker was told he wasn't in the office, he went on a rampage, injuring two of those staffers, one of them an intern who was working her first day on the job. The suspect in this case has a long history of run-ins with police.
A thermometer is being recalled after reports of children being severely burned. Five on Your Side says the recall involves this, the Walmart wearable smart thermometer in the shape of a cartoon penguin. Chemicals can leak from the thermometer and burn or irritate children's skin. Parents should stop using the thermometer immediately and return it to the manufacturer Bear Care. And we're posting details about how to get your refund for this recall and other recalls Five on Your Side has reported. Just go to WREL.com and search recall.
Let's take a look at stocks this noon. You see where the Dow Jones Industrial Average stands right now, and the graph on the top left there, all red all day. It has been in negative territory, down 200 points this noon. And next at noon, there were four. The Carolina Hurricanes are one of them when they play game one of the Eastern Conference Finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Also, we're seeing a lot of older model cars on the road. Why Americans are keeping their cars longer than ever.
Plus at 12:30, some travel hacks to help ease your troubles during what could be a record-setting Memorial Day weekend of travel.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The man behind a popular chatbot is testifying before Congress today as lawmakers discuss the potential risks of artificial intelligence. Sam Altman, CEO and co-founder of OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, is testifying before a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee. This is the first time Altman will testify before Congress over concerns over artificial intelligence. As government leaders at home and abroad debate over the potential risks artificial intelligence could have on our lives, a number of companies are putting the software to the test. Jackie Banya shows us how it can create incredible things.
While artificial intelligence has its fair share of critics who fear the technology will replace human jobs and spread misinformation, Swedish engineering company Sandvik wanted to show how AI can be used for good and enhance creativity. Their mission? To make a new statue modeled after the works of some of history's most influential artists.
How do you combine them into one piece of art that's actually manufacturable?
So computer scientists got busy, training numerous AI programs to be familiar with the style of five sculptors: Michelangelo, Auguste Rodin, Katie Kollwitz, Takamura Kitaro, and Augusta Savage.
It was important that those models understood not only the artists, but also the context in which they created art, so different eras in time and that sort of thing. Once we were able to create images that really embodied the spirit of these artists, we also had new models that created 3D models that understood how the human body was posed and shaped.
Once AI made the blueprint for their sculpture, engineers at Sandvik used more than 20 different tools to carve it out of stainless steel. The result is what they're calling the impossible statue. It stands nearly 5 feet tall and weighs over 1,100 pounds.
There's Jackie Banez reporting. And while AI is being used to create art, leaders on Capitol Hill are trying to prevent the technology from being misused in the future.
And we're hearing from the Carolina Hurricanes as they continue their quest for the Stanley Cup. WRL's Brian Schrader has been monitoring a press conference, Brian, that just wrapped up. What did they have to say?
Well, you know, we learned last night that the Hurricanes are going to host the Florida Panthers in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. That's happening Thursday night. But this morning, we heard from your Carolina Hurricanes as they get ready. Interest is building as the Canes continue into the playoffs. A lot of people who might not be big hockey fans have been getting on the bandwagon over the past few weeks as the Hurricanes keep rolling. And Canes defenseman Jacob Slavin says that he is glad to see it.
Hey, everyone's excited about it. People that I talk to outside the rink are excited about it. And so, yeah, I think there's a little bit of momentum there and continuing to build just the community here that we have in Raleigh.
The Canes made it this far in the playoffs back in 2019, and Slavin, of course, is hoping for a better outcome this time around. He says they're going to take it one game at a time, and that first one, again, is Thursday night, Carolina and Florida meeting in the playoffs for the very first time. Puck drops at PNC Arena at 8 o'clock Thursday evening.
Let's go. Let's sound the siren. Let's go.
We're ready. We're ready. They beat them, what, 2 out of 3 times in the regular season?
Yes.
So?
Means nothing.
Means nothing.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. We're just going to beat them now.
It's all even now. Off they go. Indoors. Not worried about tailgating tonight out there at the arena. Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center. It's a good thing, probably.
Definitely. You don't want to be outside. You know, once we get past the evening commute and really into the evening and tonight, it's when we'll end up seeing a strong line of thunderstorms that comes through. We do have a level one risk in our eastern counties, and it's a level two risk in our western counties, including the Triangle area, north and west. Damaging wind, we could see at any part of the viewing area. That's where we could see some trees down. An isolated tornado is possible. I wouldn't expect this to be widespread, but it would be more likely in the yellow shaded area. So timing-wise, we're looking at some stray cells beginning to develop around the evening commute, say around 5 o'clock, and we could continue to see some thunderstorms across the area through around midnight or even 1 a.m. Again, our biggest threat is going to be wind damage that could knock down a few trees, and in a few spots, there could be an isolated tornado. We'll go back to the radar again. We do still have this tiny shower up here around Halifax, Northampton County. Nothing else showing up. As a matter of fact, we've seen our skies clearing now from the Triangle area south and west. So you can see right there around Roanoke Rapids, that little shower swinging on through. Not much to it. It's not a thunderstorm, just a quick little shower for you. And here's a look at Futurecast. So we're seeing some clearing skies from Durham back toward Raleigh. Once we get to 3 or 4 o'clock, the clouds begin to fill in and there could be an isolated shower or storm that pops up. But the cold front itself isn't going to start forming a line up to our north for a while. It could be 7 to 9 o'clock before we start to see that line of storms developing. It moves through the Triangle area around 10, around 10:30, Rocky Mount back towards Southern Pines, and right around midnight, around Goldsboro and Clinton would be some of the last counties to see that moving on by. And again, wind damage would be our biggest threat. Large hail's possible. We could see some isolated flooding, especially in areas that see some of those heavy cells coming through. And again, just an isolated potential for a tornado. Before this gets here, folks are taking full advantage of a nice warm afternoon. You can see the flag flying there here at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Plenty of folks out there on the putting green. Right now it's 78 degrees around the Triangle, but it does feel sticky. Our dew point's way up at 64, so that feels on the muggy side. We'll climb into the mid-80s before we see those thunderstorms forming. 84 in Raleigh, 82 in Durham, 87 in Fayetteville. So muggy today, but that changes starting tomorrow. It feels very comfortable for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's going to be nice to get a chance to get outside. Afternoon highs will be in the 70s. Enjoy it. We get to the weekend, and of course, I mean, it feels like a requisite that we'll have a cold front coming through. We're going to go through some of the scenarios for when we could see some showers and thunderstorms again over the weekend in just a few minutes.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Well, it's been just over 9 months since Raleigh launched its social district, and today at 4, we're getting our first update on how the pilot is going, plus the areas it could possibly get expanded to.
Electric cars are gaining popularity, but their affordability has many holding off. Tonight at 6, 5 on Your Side explores the effort to bring down some of those costs and the tests we're doing on some of the more affordable EV models. And still ahead this noon, new research shows people are holding on to their cars longer than ever. What's behind this trend and which businesses stand to benefit the most?
Plus, a new smartphone feature to help people in crisis, the technology pointing them to a lifeline.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you live now inside the U.S. Senate chamber right now. This is a meeting of the U.S. Senate Banking Committee. They're talking about the recent failure of two banks, including Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The CEOs and former chair of those banks are testifying right now. Both men apologized for the collapse of those banks. Gregory Becker said he's as chair of SVB, saying that the collapse was a shock to him, and added that he worked closely with advisors and the bank was actively responding to concerns from regulators. And that's Scott Shea, who co-founded Signature Bank. He too is apologizing and telling lawmakers exactly what happened.
All right, Ken, thank you. Americans are increasing their snacking, and why egg prices are falling. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Wholesale egg prices are plunging. Midwest large eggs, the benchmark for the industry, cost 94 cents a dozen last week, down from $5.46 just 6 months ago. This is according to the firm Urner Barry, which tracks prices in the food industry. But retail egg prices are falling at a much slower rate. Prices soared last year when the avian flu wiped out a large number of egg-laying hens, and inflation hit feed and fuel costs. But the flu appears to be under control now, and the supply of both hens and eggs are growing, and that's sending prices down. Gerber says potentially contaminated baby formula was distributed to stores in 8 states despite a recall. The products include 12.4-ounce cans of Good Start Soothe Pro powdered infant formula. Formula manufactured between January 2nd and 18th could contain a germ with the potential to seriously sicken infants. Now, some of the product may have been distributed to independent retailers in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. More details are available on the FDA's website. Americans are binging on snacks. Almost half of U.S. consumers are eating at least 3 snacks a day. That's according to research firm Circana Group. That's up 8% in the last 2 years. And sales of snacks jumped to $181 billion last year, up 11% from a year earlier. Snacking increased during the pandemic, and people are continuing the trend now with things like candy and popcorn. And some people say busy schedules have them snacking more instead of eating a full meal. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Americans are holding on to their cars longer than ever. The average age of the life of vehicles in the U.S. has hit a record high. Researchers say the average car on the road is 12 and a half years old. An older fleet of vehicles means more repair work will be needed, which will likely cause a surge in aftermarket repair opportunities. Experts point to supply chain issues back in 2022, rising interest rates and inflation.
Google is adding a new feature to help people in crisis. Pre-written texts will show up when users search for suicide-related terms. The prompts will appear under information for the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Google already shows the Lifeline number in its search results. The messages will encourage users to reach out to people they trust and talk to them. Users will be able to click on a Send a Text button that copies the prompt into the text messaging app on their smartphones. A startup company is giving away 500,000 television sets, but as always, there's a catch. Customers must put up with nonstop ads and share your data with the company. Telly says it may collect information like what they are watching and for how long. The TV also comes with a built-in camera, microphone, and sensors to enable Zoom calls and motion tracking fitness programs. If you opt out, you have to pay $500 to keep the dual-screen TV.
There's always a catch. Mm-hmm. Well, we're learning what happened before and after a mass shooting in New Mexico. Just ahead, a woman who was at home with her baby when it happened explains how she stayed safe.
Then this Memorial Day is expected to be one for the record books. Coming up, the travel hacks to make sure you get to your vacation on time. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Police in Farmington, New Mexico are searching for a motive in the latest mass shooting. Officers say an 18-year-old male killed 3 people and injured 6 others, including 2 police officers. The shooter was then shot and killed by police. Erin McLaughlin reports from New Mexico.
Shooting off about 50 shots, possibly still going on.
Gunfire erupting Monday morning in Farmington, New Mexico, about 200 miles northwest of Santa Fe.
I have eyes on the suspect. He's walking south. He's wearing all black. So he's got automatic weapon.
Where police saying the suspect roamed through an area of up to a quarter of a mile, firing at least 3 different weapons, including an AR-15.
At this point, it appears to be purely random. At least 6 houses and 3 cars were shot in the course of the event as a suspect randomly fired at whatever entered his head to shoot at.
3 people were killed and 6 others injured, including 2 police officers, now in stable condition. The 18-year-old suspect seen here before he was shot and killed by police. The governor and mayor praising law enforcement, saying it took just 5 minutes to stop the shooter, adding that quick response likely saved countless lives. Jolene Robledo was home with her baby daughter when she heard the shots.
And it went from pop, pop, pop to pop, 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 pop. And I freaked out because I knew then that it was gunshots. And I just grabbed my daughter. We just barricaded in between the washer and the dryer.
Her one-year-old's bedroom window and wall pierced by bullets. Five Democratic lawmakers from New Mexico issuing a joint statement saying in part, "Today is a painful reminder that we must do more. We are committed to fighting for sensible gun safety measures that will keep New Mexicans safe." There have been 225 mass shootings in 2023 alone, according to the Gun Violence Archive, which includes any shooting with at least four victims. This morning, another community in the U.S. left reeling.
It's heartbreaking for the victims, absolutely heartbreaking for the victims who are just going about their everyday life.
That was Erin McLaughlin reporting. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office says no charges will be filed in the shooting death of Banco Brown. Surveillance video shows the confrontation between a Walgreens security guard and Brown. The 24-year-old transgender black man was shot after allegedly shoplifting from the store. The guard said he believed that his life was in imminent danger.
A 12-year-old is charged with murder in the shooting death of a Sonic employee. This happened in Keene, Texas, south of Fort Worth. Police say the Sonic employee confronted a man for peeing in the restaurant's parking lot, and then the two started fighting. That's when officers say the 12-year-old, who was in the back seat of the man's car, shot the employee several times. Police confiscated several guns from the child. The man the child was with is also charged with murder. A third person is now facing charges connected to the killing of a man in Garner. Jonte Bell of Anger was charged yesterday with accessory after the fact to murder. It comes after the shooting death of Antoine Chisholm at a home on Kentucky Drive in Garner on May 8th. Chisholm's fiancée, Petit Bell, along with Howard Covington Jr., are facing murder charges. Chisholm's mother says her son and Bell got engaged 2 days before he was killed. Chisholm left behind six children.
Researchers at Duke University are enrolling 50 people for an early stage trial to test an experimental universal influenza vaccine. The development of such a vaccine could eliminate the need for a yearly flu shot. Volunteers must be between 8 and 49 years old. Experts say a universal vaccine could be critical in the event of a future flu pandemic. 9 out of 10 adults in the U.S. still trust most childhood vaccines. A new survey found that they see the benefits of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines, or MMR. When it comes to the COVID vaccine, only about 60% say the benefits outweigh the risks. These two vaccines have key distinctions that may be affecting perceptions. One is that the COVID vaccines were new and highly politicized, and also the side effects for the COVID vaccines were more front and center.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, an urgent call for donor breast milk at Wake Med. The hospital says breast milk is in high demand, and the hospital is actually going through its reserves to meet that increased demand. Wake Med Carey in Kildare Farm Road holding a milk bank donation day Friday, May 19th from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. At any given time, the hospital says 200 to 300 active donors are needed to help supply breast milk to babies and NICUs all across North Carolina.
Ken, thanks for that update. Downtown Raleigh's social district could expand to allow outdoor drinking in more places. Today, City Council will consider expanding the Sip and Stroll District beyond its current boundaries. The proposed new map would include more of the city's warehouse district. That includes the areas around Union Station and Morgan Street Food Hall. Today, the way Raleigh's elections work, as well as how much its leaders get paid, are both up for discussion. A study group appointed by City Council recommends council members should serve 4-year terms instead of the 2-year terms they now serve. It also suggests the council should add another district seat, increasing its size to 10 members. And it says the mayor and council members should be paid more. It cites the city's growth and development as well. City Council will talk about all the study's findings in a work session today.
The unofficial start of the summer is just 2 weeks away, and AAA says this Memorial Day will be one for the record books. You're looking at a live picture right now from RDU International, where plans are already in the works to keep passengers moving. Cole Higgins has some travel hacks for the millions of people driving or flying
to their destinations.
Get ready for a record-breaking Memorial Day. According to AAA, 42.3 million Americans are expected to travel 50 miles or more from home over the holiday weekend.
The desire to travel is high. It's back to what it was pre-pandemic.
Compared to 2022, that's a 7% increase or nearly 3 million more people. And AAA says it's a glimpse of what's ahead this summer travel season, saying roads and airports will be busier than before the pandemic.
More people feel comfortable flying now. More people are booking trips ahead of time. And what that shows is that there's a demand for flights despite inflation.
According to AAA, this Memorial Day weekend, we could see the busiest airport since 2005. AAA recommends booking the first flight in the morning since it has fewer disruptions than later flights. Don't check in bags and be flexible.
Have those plan Bs and plan Cs in effect, knowing that potentially you could run into delays or cancellations at the airport.
AAA says most travelers are expected to drive to their destination, while also noting car travel is still expected to be down from pre-pandemic levels by 500,000 travelers. Prices at the pump are likely fueling the increased demand for road trips. AAA says the national average for a gallon of gas is below $4, which is lower than it was last summer. AAA recommends avoiding the roads Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. and Monday between noon and 3 p.m.
So if you can extend that weekend trip to Tuesday, perhaps, or maybe work remotely on Tuesday, come back Wednesday, play around with your schedule a little bit to avoid those big delays.
That was Cole Higgins reporting. According to AAA, 3.4 million people are expected to fly this Memorial Day weekend. That's an 11% increase over last year.
There's a new way to shop online. Which major retailer is hopping on the AI bandwagon?
And fighting weight gain as we get older, the diet changes you should consider as you enter menopause.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Granville, Johnston, and Orange counties this noon. Granville County Courthouse is closing early today because of an active shooter training exercise. Don't be alarmed when you see this commotion. The Courthouse Security Committee says it is happening at 4 p.m. The training is being held alongside Granville County officials and law enforcement. Clayton Fire Department is partnering with Clayton Police Department and Johnston County EMS for a training exercise today. That one's taking place at the corner of Covered Bridge Road and Loop Road. You'll see several emergency vehicles and personnel there. Don't be alarmed. This is just a training exercise. The Greenway will be open to the public. However, the parking lot will be closed. And Hillsboro officers need your help in showering a local pantry with gifts for babies. The police department will collect donations to benefit the Orange Congregations in Mission Pantry. Officers will collect items from 8 a.m. all the way through 5 p.m. weekdays at its headquarters on Churton Street. The drive wraps up May 25th.
A memorial is growing on Pool Road for two cousins who died in an ATV crash there on Sunday night. More than 30 family members and friends gathered at the site, which is now covered with candles and balloons. The cousins, Kevin Epps and Jaya Jackson, were not wearing helmets when they crashed into a car as it was making a turn. WRAL spoke with Jen Villegas of the ATV Safety Institute, who said it's important to follow safety rules when riding the vehicles.
Two of them that they broke was one, not wearing a helmet, and the second one is operating an ATV on public roads.
Investigators say Epps drove the ATV into the car that was driven by 24-year-old Taylor Williams. Williams was cited for failing to stop at a stop sign and two counts of misdemeanor death by motor vehicle.
Amazon might be entering the chatbot industry. Amazon's latest listings show the company is looking for people to help reimagine its search feature. The e-commerce giant says the redesign would include an interactive conversational experience with customers. So far, no details have been released about when the new feature will be released.
Coming up, menopause marks the end of reproductive years for women, along with hot flashes. Some women also complain about weight gain. What you can do to fight this symptom.
Plus, Michael Jackson invented the moonwalk. Now a new shoe promises to help you walk at amazing speeds with little effort. Details on the maker at noon next.
Menopause marks the end of reproductive years. Fluctuating hormonal levels can lead to a variety of unwanted symptoms, including hot flashes, night sweats, and sleep problems. Another common complaint is added pounds. Marty Velasco Hames explains what's behind weight gain during menopause and what women can do about it.
If you're a woman going through menopause and finding it harder than ever to maintain a healthy weight, you're not alone.
Menopause is diagnosed clinically and retrospectively as 12 months past the last menstrual cycle. Weight gain is one of the things that many, if not all, of my menopausal patients will share with me, that they're experiencing weight gain symptoms. That can be really challenging because your metabolism starts to really decrease around midlife.
Dr. Kling recommends regular exercise that includes cardiovascular exercise for your heart health. Menopause is the time to lean into those healthy habits.
Typically, those healthy lifestyle habits are going to provide the most success at helping during the menopause transition. In fact, we see pretty good data that weight loss or weight management can be helpful for managing menopause symptoms. So focusing on a healthy diet, on exercise, all of those can help. Exercise can even help with sexual functioning. So recognizing when you're doing those things, you're getting multiple benefits from it.
That was Marty Velasco Hames reporting. And sometimes changing your diet can help relieve menopause symptoms, limiting the amount of caffeine that you consume every day. Also, cutting back on spicy foods can make your hot flashes less severe. You can also add foods that contain plant estrogen into your diet, such as soybeans, chickpeas, beans, fruits, vegetables, and grains.
If you're going to mix exercise into that today, better hurry before this weather moves in. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. We saw where that level one, level two risk is. Now a look at satellite.
Yeah, this is a look at where we have a brand new severe thunderstorm watch. Now, it's nowhere close to us. It's across parts of Kentucky, Tennessee, and far southwest Virginia. So it is in no part of North Carolina at this point. But it wouldn't be out of the question for western North Carolina to go under a severe thunderstorm watch. It would be possible for our viewing area, at least our western counties, to go under one of those much later on. That's a fairly slow-moving system. You can see right here, this is our warm front. And so that warm front lifting northward, gradually the cold front, when it interacts with this air mass, is likely to fire up some thunderstorms. You can see it's way back to our west, western Tennessee right now. So it's got a long way to go before it gets here. We've had a lot of cloud cover so far today, a few isolated showers, nothing that's caused any problems, just that little sprinkle getting ready to shift out of Northampton County. And that's really the only thing that we had left. We have seen our skies clearing, so some nice sunshine mixed with cloud cover from the Triangle area south and west, but definitely a lot more cloud cover up in the northeast. So we'll roll it through. At 2 o'clock, there could be a few isolated storms that fire up way ahead of the front itself. You can see one of those there at 3 o'clock. So one or two of these could pop up, especially up around Mecklenburg County, Virginia. You're going to be seeing the best chance of this during the late afternoon and early evening hours. There's 7 o'clock. And then finally, by the time we get to 7 to 9, we begin to see this line of thunderstorms forming up, and gradually it sinks southward between 9 and 10 o'clock, moving across the triangle, and by midnight around Clinton and Goldsboro. That's the line that's more likely to bring us some severe storms, but couldn't completely rule out seeing some of those stronger thunderstorms closer to the evening commute. So we're going to be watching out for that. We take a look at our severe weather threat. Again, it's a level two risk from the triangle area northward and westward, and then the level one risk in our eastern counties. Everybody's got an equal chance, really, of seeing some wind damage, those strong straight line winds. An isolated tornado would be more likely in our far western counties if we're going to see any of those, and that shouldn't be widespread. So what's the difference between the level one and level two? Level one means there's just a very small chance of any severe storms, and wind damage would be the biggest threat. But you get to level two, and of course, obviously that's up a level, so there would be maybe scattered thunderstorms that could produce wind damage, and maybe one or two of those could produce an isolated tornado. We take a look at how much rain we could see, and certainly there's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere. Some of these storms could produce, say, up to 3/4 to an inch of rain and might produce some minor flooding. But a lot of folks are just going to see maybe 1/4 of an inch to 1/2 an inch of rain out of this as it swings on through as we get into this evening. Let's jump ahead and take a quick look at the weekend. Right now, it looks like Saturday is trending on the drier side, and we have a cold front that comes through. There's 5 p.m. Saturday. It comes through Saturday night and lingers into maybe the first half of Sunday. But there are other models who move it a little faster, bringing in the rain maybe late Saturday and moving it out by Sunday. Sunday morning. So that's something that we'll be watching closely as we get near the weekend. It looks like highs will be in the 80s. Certainly after today, we have some really pretty weather in our forecast for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Couples can now make reservations for a new out-of-this-world wedding venue. We'll tell you how much this spectacular experience will cost you. And the winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Today is a WREL weather alert day because of the threat for severe weather. The WREL severe weather team is tracking the potential for damaging winds, severe hail, and isolated tornadoes in some areas. Download the WREL weather app and watch our evening news for the latest forecast as the system moves in.
We've learned a four-year-old boy has died after he drowned in a pool. This happened in the Falls Creek apartment complex off Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. WRL Sky 5 was over the scene as emergency crews responded and performed CPR on that child. Investigators are working to learn how the boy was able to get into the pool. Authorities said there were no suspicious circumstances surrounding the drowning.
This afternoon, lawmakers are expected to vote on Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill restricting abortion access in the state. Republican leaders think they have the votes for the veto override. If one Republican in either chamber votes to support the veto, the bill fails to become law. Multiple members of our NC Capitol team are following the story today. We'll bring you the latest as it happens on WREL.com.
Well, first it was the NFL's Raiders and then the NHL's Golden Knights. And now it appears Major League Baseball is moving to Las Vegas. The Oakland A's have agreed to build a ballpark on the Las Vegas Strip. It would open in 2027 at a cost of $1.5 billion. The agreement is contingent upon Major League Baseball's relocation approval and the passing of public financing legislation. Walking faster just got easier with a new pair of shoes. Shift Robotics claims to have developed the world's fastest shoes called the Moonwalkers. The company says the shoes help people walk up to 7 miles per hour compared to the average human pace, which is about 3 miles per hour. The Moonwalkers are on sale for $1,400.
Yeah, they'll sell out too.
They're roller skates.
Yeah, exactly. Well, starting next year, couples will have the chance to say I do in a venue that's out of this world. Space Perspective is offering couples the opportunity to get married in orbit using its carbon-neutral balloon. The balloon spacecraft is called Neptune. It has giant windows where couples and their wedding guests can see views of Earth. The cost, $125,000 per seat. The company says we're taking reservations next year. Well, once the happy couple is back on the ground, they can honeymoon on their very own private island. Little Pipe K is located in the Bahamas. It's now selling for $100 million. The island was featured in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and the James Bond film Casino Royale. The price includes a main residence, 4 guest homes, a private gym, a spa, a pool, and even a full staff. Sign me up.
Invite me.
Yeah.
Our pet of the day likes to know where his people are at all times. This is Clarence. He's a plot hound mix, who's the whole package. Dog friendly, people friendly, child friendly, crate trained, house trained. Clarence is about 1 to 2 years old, weighs 50 pounds. This boy's very intelligent. He is food motivated, so he loves learning new skills and tricks. If you're interested in meeting Clarence, you can fill out the application at redbarnrescue.com today.
The COVID pandemic revealed a shortage in the nursing field, and now the ripple effects continue to be felt. Today on WREL News at 4, what's being done locally to address the shortage.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.